Hello. Welcome back to TL Talks Podcast. I am TL. It's good to have you. Starting off with TL Thought of the Day. Thought of the Day is two experiences I've had this week I wanted to share with you guys. The first experience was, I think it was on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. I was getting off work. I was going to stop at Target on my way home to pick up my version of Thanksgiving, food-wise. And I was kind of in a hurry because there was something. What was I doing? I don't know. I had something to do right after work. And so I was kind of in a hurry to get home, but I wanted to go to Target before I got home. And so I was kind of in a hurry, but I was in Target and I was kind of making my rounds, picking up a few things. And I went down this one aisle. And there was a man, an old man, he was like, he had like kind of like a walker. And when I walked by the aisle, there was a whole bunch of stuff on the floor that he had dropped. And he had like this kind of like little knapsack in front of the walker that's supposed to carry his stuff. And a lot of his stuff had fallen out. So I stopped and helped him, you know, and picked up the stuff and made sure that they got, you know, in the thing. And, you know, he was appreciative. But my point of sharing that story is that I think that we should help people when we can. You know what I mean? When you see people that need help, you're not always in a position that you can help. But when you can help, you should. And so I'm not sure why more people don't do that. But and I'm not saying that I'm perfect and that I do it all the time. But I do think that when you can help and, you know, it's not something where you're in a really big rush and you can't really afford the time to stop to help somebody or, you know, whatever the situation is, that's fine. But a lot of times you do have the time and you're not in that much of a rush and you can't help. And so I think people should do that. My second experience was not as positive. So last night when I was bored, I was kind of scrolling through social media and I came across this thing on Twitter, and it was this one female that I follow on Twitter. She kind of is known for having opinions about sports, and she had posted this video of the Saints player stiff arming Matt Ryan because the defensive lineman got the ball and stiff arm Matt Ryan was pretty vicious. So she shared it. Well, some guy responded to her that post and said something about, yeah, Matt Ryan fell as hard as your brother did when he OD'd. And I like looked at him like, what the fuck? Like, why would somebody say that? And of course, I don't know anything about this chick, so I don't know anything about her, her family, her brother, if her brother died, if her, you know, I don't know anything. But he wrote that. And of course, there was a reaction to it, right? Because when people say stuff like that, usually a pretty strong reaction. So she reacted to it. A lot of other people reacted to it. But unfortunately for me, I kind of went down that rabbit hole of reacting. And nothing crazy happened. I didn't, you know, tweet anything that I'm going to regret later. But there's like three different people I responded to that basically were either making fun of her dead brother that OD'd on drugs or were making fun of her, basically, or supporting the guy that originally made the joke. And so the whole thing just kind of disgusted me, and it disgusted me to the point where I felt like I needed to respond to them. And so the reason I'm sharing that story is because in today's society with social media, you know, you log in and you're surrounded by all these different opinions, and some people are idiots, and some people, you know, are just bad people, basically. I don't know if they just are trolls or they have a sick sense of humor or they have a lack of empathy or what their issue is, but people say some really mean things and really evil things sometimes, and it's hard to kind of hold your tongue. So kind of a message with that part is just I would encourage people to not act out of character, right? So when I came across those tweets and I reacted to them, I sent three different replies to these guys that were, you know, talking about this girl's dead brother who OD'd on drugs. I was so annoyed and disgusted with their like tweets that I felt the need to respond to them, which isn't usually the case. But I didn't let myself get outside of myself, right? So I didn't let myself fly off the handle. I didn't say anything that I'm going to regret later. I didn't say anything that, you know, I didn't act out of character. So who I am as a person, I never let it get to the point where I was going to say something that I would regret or fly off the handle or say something ignorant and stupid to their level. And so, once again, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but unfortunately, a lot of people do act out of character. If they're triggered in certain ways online, they can do dramatic things. That's very unfortunate. And so I would just encourage people that listen to my podcast to just think before you act. You know what I mean? Before you say something or do something or tweet something or message something, think about what you're doing. Realize that we're living in a society that can screenshot things. And even if you delete a tweet, if somebody screenshotted it, it's there forever. And so you just have to be very mindful about what you put out there because, you know, it's just, there's a lot of wisdom in that. That's what I got for the thought of the day. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Moving on to football. This weekend is going to be a very enjoyable weekend of football because it's basically rivalry week for the Ohio boys. We'll start with the Browns first. The Browns play the Dolphins on Sunday. It's funny because my prediction was either we're going to blow them out or we're going to win kind of a closer game if Fitzpatrick, you know, shows his magic. And it was kind of a tale of two halves because both those things happened. In the first half, everything was best case scenario. I think we went up 28-3 at halftime. Baker Mayfield had like three touchdowns and one rushing touchdown, I think. I don't know. He had a really good game. But, first half was best case scenario. Then second half, Dolphins started putting some drives together. A couple things didn't go our way. And they made the game more competitive. I think they went from 28-3 to 28-17. So at that point, I'm like, oh, man, if the Browns find some way to lose this game, being up 28-3, we honestly don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Like, we might as well just say our season's over now. But thankfully, they did not let the game go to shit. So they let it get back to 28-17 was the closest it ever got, and then we eventually pulled away. Final score was 41-24 Browns. So, long story short, Browns took care of business. They beat the Dolphins, who are not a good team. You know, you're supposed to win the winnable games, and that was a winnable game, and Browns did what they were supposed to. This weekend is the Steelers. So, as you know, we just played the Steelers 2 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. Myles Garrett had the helmet incident. And so there's a lot of build up for this game because there's a lot of implications as far as wild card stuff, implications as far as AFC North, implications as far as them, you know, protecting their home field. And, you know, I'm sure they're embarrassed about their game in Cleveland, and so they're going to be motivated. But I don't give a shit about any of that. What I was telling my bud Ken, who's a Steelers fan, is, listen, man, I'm not saying the Browns are a great team or Super Bowl bound, but the Browns are not a bad team, and the Steelers are going to need more than their backups to beat us. And that's what they're playing with right now, is their backups. So I am predicting another Browns victory. I don't think it'll be as decisive as last time because it's in Pittsburgh, but I still think the Browns will win because we're just a better team. We're a healthier team. We're more skilled team. We've put a few wins together. We have better momentum. And so I don't give a fuck that it's in Pittsburgh. I don't give a shit about the Steelers defense and yada, 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 and who's starting at quarterback. All that doesn't matter to me. I was very encouraged to see that the game after Myles Garrett was suspended, the Browns had 4 sacks against the Dolphins, which is the same as they had with Myles Garrett the game before. So you can make the argument that our defensive line pressure isn't going to be as much of a drop-off that it will affect our wins and losses. So that's awesome news. And so, go Browns. But, yeah, I think the Browns will beat the Steelers on Sunday. I think that's so much, in fact, that when I did my pick 'em I put it as 16 out of 16 for my confidence rating. So literally it's the game that I think is a lock to, for a win. Of course, you know, I'm biased because I'm a Browns fan, but I really do feel that way. I, you know, the first game was a blowout in my opinion. They were lucky that it was only 21-7. We, you know, we didn't execute on offense as good as we could have, but, and they were lucky to even score seven because the refs helped them out. So they're going to need a lot of stuff to go their way on Sunday to win. I mean, they're going to need, what's his name? Hodges to play out of his mind. They're going to need James Conner to have a hell of a game. Somebody like James Washington to have a hell of a game, and their defense just to terrorize Baker Mayfield and play lights out for four quarters, which I don't think will happen. And so I'm looking forward to the game. I know Steelers fans are hoping that they can win at home and redeem themselves, but I just don't think it's going to happen this year. I think the Browns are a better team, and I cannot wait to beat them again and to go 3-0 in the AFC North and take another step towards the playoffs and keep this winning streak alive. That's my Browns take. Moving on to Ohio State. Ohio State played Penn State last week. That was a pretty good game. Final score was 28-17 Ohio State. My prediction last week for that game was that it was either going to be a blowout or a competitive game, but I saw Ohio State winning either way. Obviously, it turned out to be a competitive game, which I'm totally okay with. I'd rather them have those now and get that experience than have it happen in the playoffs and your season's over. So, yeah, it was a good game. Penn State's a very good team, but we beat them fair and square 28-17, so we get to move on undefeated. And this Saturday, we play the team up north. So that's awesome. So think about, for me as a fan, I get to watch Ohio State beat the team up north for the eighth year in a row on Saturday. Then I get to watch my Browns beat the Steelers for a second time this season in Pittsburgh on Sunday. How fucking awesome of a weekend is that? Hell yeah. Let's have that happen like right meow. So, yeah, as far as the upcoming game against the team up north, they're number 13 in the nation, so they're a good team. It's at their place, and so that's going to make it a little bit harder as far as the environment. But I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff either. Ohio State's a better team. We've owned them for the past 7 years with Urban. Our team is as good, if not better, with Ryan Day. And so, unfortunately for Harbaugh and company, it's going to be more of the same. So the way I see that, I know it's kind of a generic prediction, but the way I see that game going is one of two ways. Either Ohio State blows them out, or it's a competitive game, and Ohio State wins by a small margin. So I think a blowout is more likely based on how much talent we have and how well we're coached. But, you know, you never know. Any given day. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. I can't wait, though. That one's going to happen before the Steelers game. So I'm set up for a pretty nice weekend if the games go the way I think they're going to go. So I can't wait, man. That's my Browns and Ohio State wrap up. Lastly, I have a little fantasy football advice for you guys. Real quick before I give you that advice. So some of you might be wondering, I've been giving fantasy advice pretty much the whole time I've had a podcast. And some of you might be wondering, like, why should I listen to you? Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason you should be listening to me is because not only am I in first place in my Pigskin Pick'em on ESPN, first place out of my group, which is in like the 97 percentile, but also I'm doing pretty well in fantasy across my leagues. So I'm in six different leagues, three on Yahoo, three on ESPN. Out of those six leagues, I'm in position to make the playoffs in four out of six, and I have a chance to make the playoffs in five out of six, depending on how this last week goes. So it's pretty good. So I definitely win more than I lose, and so that's why you should listen to me. I'm not, you know, telling you what to do, but this is free advice, and I did all the legwork for you, so you guys, hopefully appreciate that. But yeah, this is my list of the players you can pick up in free agency this week, based on them having a good week last week. So not counting Thanksgiving games, but the games before that. Guys that had solid games that you could pick up in free agency. These are also players that are owned in less than 75% of leagues. So it's realistic that they would be available. So if you want to plug them in for injuries or well, actually, bye weeks are over now. Injuries or something like that, then these are guys you can keep in mind. So that list is as follows. At quarterback, you have Fitzpatrick. He had, actually had a pretty good game against the Browns once, you know, they turned stuff around in the second half. I think it was his birthday. So I like him. I was glad that he had a solid game, but also glad the Browns won. So Fitzpatrick had a good game. Daniel Jones had another solid game. Allen from Carolina had a good game. Sam Darnold had a good game. The Jets have been playing like a completely different team the last two or three weeks, which is crazy. And then Tannehill also had a good game. I think he had two touchdowns passing and two rushing. And so Tannehill, he might actually – he's either basically auditioning for a starting job for next season in free agency, or he's going to take Mariota's job based on what I've seen recently. So that's the quarterbacks. Only running back is Scarborough for the Lions. He played on Thanksgiving, so his game's already over, but he is getting enough looks and carries and stats that he's worth picking up if you can. Receivers are Gage, who already played on Thanksgiving, Beasley, who already played on Thanksgiving, Miller, who already played on Thanksgiving, then the last three did not play on Thanksgiving. So those are Erickson from Cincinnati, Myers from the Patriots, and Willie Snead from the Ravens. Willie Snead's kind of a feast or famine type guy. He'll either give you a lot or nothing, and so proceed with caution there. Myers, I want to say he got the second most targets for the Patriots last game, which is pretty awesome if that'll continue, but who knows. And then Erickson, I like that guy. The Bengals are horrible. They haven't won all year, but especially with AJ Green out, he's pretty much the number two guy behind Tyler Boyd. So he's been getting looks all season. He's been producing. So he's a nice little sneaky receiver to play if you want to. The two tight ends are Doyle and Fant. Or Font? How you say it? Yeah, Noah Fant, I think it is. Yeah. So he plays for the Broncos. He's been getting some decent amount of targets. The reason Doyle's a good pickup is because they just announced that Eric Ebron is out for the season. And so since he's out for the season, that makes Doyle a really good pickup. The three defenses that impressed last week were the Jets, Seahawks, and Ravens. I think the Ravens will do very well against the 49ers. I'm not a believer in Garoppolo as a championship quarterback. Seahawks had an impressive, I think they held the Eagles to 9 points or something like that. And the Jets killed the Raiders, which is really crazy. IDPs are Cunningham, Kendricks, Jayon Brown, and Warner from the 49ers. That's what I got for fantasy. Before I get into my interview this week, I want to share a couple little previews about upcoming stuff. So what I have in mind for this podcast as far as the future, starting in 2020, I told two things. I want to make some improvements to the podcast in the future. As it is right now, I'm content with the product that I'm putting out. And so I know that it could be better. It could always be better. But what I'm putting out right now, I'm content with. But I do have some ideas for some improvements, but I'm not really in a rush for those. So in 2020, look out for those things. Actually, I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'll hold you in suspense. But there are some cool ideas I have to improve the podcast, but I'll probably aim for 2020 just to give myself some time and do it right. So that's that. And then also with the summit, that's pretty much my aiming date for actually doing the summit is in 2020. So I'm not sure when in 2020. It'll depend on a lot of things. It's a lot harder of an endeavor than you would think. But 2020 is definitely my aiming date for doing the first summit. I think the most realistic time would probably be right after my football season ends, which is like July-ish. So maybe it'll be then, maybe it'll be sooner. I guess we'll play that by ear. But that is my little preview for what's coming up in 2020. So without further ado, I'm going to give you guys my interview this week was with Anthony Mossberg. Anthony Mossberg is a friend of mine from when I was younger, about a decade ago. We're really good friends when I lived in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and we've been able to stay in touch through the years. He's a really awesome guy. We have a whole bunch of things in common, but the cool thing, well, there's a lot of cool things about him, but he is a musician, an artist, just a cool guy, a crazy good athlete. I found some stuff out in the interview about how athletic he is and how fast he was when he played. And so that kind of blew my mind a little bit. But yeah, really cool interview. He's one of those friends that, like, I'm sure you guys can relate. You know, you have that friend that you might not talk that much, but when you do talk, it's like you never missed a beat and you could just talk for like, you know, 2 or 3 hours easily. He's one of those friends, you know? And so it's funny because usually my interviews are about an hour long, but with him, you know, we could have killed 2 or 3 hours easily. And so I'll definitely have him on again for another interview, just to touch on some stuff we didn't get to. But this interview was really awesome. I got to learn some more stuff about him that I didn't know. We got to talk, and so hopefully you guys enjoy it. And I will say before I start it that his music's phenomenal. And so anyways, you guys can support him, whether it's Kickstart or buying his albums or just, you know, checking him out. I would recommend that. And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend. Like, he's legit. He's a very talented guy. He has awesome music. And so I encourage you guys to check it out. So without further ado, here is my interview with Anthony Mossberg.
All right, so thank Anthony Mossberg for joining me on TL Talks podcast. It's great to have you, Anthony. I know you're a busy guy. You're a musician. And I'm pretty sure there's hundreds of women that speak to you every week. And so I'm glad that you made some time for me. So thanks for joining me.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, I'll have to tell all those hundreds of women. They must get lost because they don't ever actually show up at my place. It's just me by myself.
Social media. Yeah,
it's not that exciting. Thanks for letting me be on here, dude. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. See, like I told you, I always start off my interviews with explaining to the listeners how we know each other. So, I guess when I lived in Parkersburg, West Virginia, years ago, I had been playing Division III football in Ohio at Heidelberg, and then I had randomly moved to Parkersburg kind of for like a new start. And one of the things that I miss about Parkersburg is they have, when it comes to, like, what would you call it? I guess recreational sports, I guess, yeah, is the best way to put it. I mean, they're hard to beat, man. I mean, I was playing in, like, you know, 3 or 4 different, like, flag football leagues, indoor, outdoor. I mean, they do a great job of keeping people active and giving them stuff to do. And so I really miss that. I haven't really found that since I've lived there. But that's how we met each other originally. I went to a small school there in Parkersburg called Ohio Valley. And I think the first time I met you, they had, like, this open tryout.
I remember this.
Yeah, yeah. So they had this open tryout where they wanted people that wanted to play, basically coming into this gym to kind of, you know, strut their stuff. And then, you know, of course, all the captains were there and they're taking notes and, you know, asking for autographs and stuff. So when I was there, I think I was trying out for quarterback, and I think a couple people liked me. And then you were also playing quarterback, and you were impressive too. And so I was like, man, you know, I'm a quarterback, and so I'm a very realistic person. So I'm if a guy is awesome or a guy sucks, you know, I pretty much keep it real with myself and everybody around
me.
But when it came to you, man, I'm not trying to, you know, make you blush or anything, but I was really impressed with you as a quarterback as far as your athleticism and your accuracy. And I'm like, dang, this guy's like a younger version of me. And so fast forward maybe a couple weeks or a month later, and I was trying to put together a team for an upcoming flag season. And I was like, man, you know, I'm a pretty decent quarterback myself, but if there's any quarterbacks that I'd put ahead of me, it'd be this Mossberg guy. And so I ended up seeing you on the campus at Ohio Valley, and I kind of, you know, got your attention. I'm like, hey, man, I know it's kind of random, but I saw you at the that tryout, and you're really solid. And so I'm not sure if you have the time or if you're willing, but I'm putting this team together, and so far it's a pretty solid team. And normally I would play quarterback, but you're one of the rare people that I would actually start ahead of me. And so would you be willing? And you're like, heck yeah, dude. And so the friendship began from there. We played that season. Did pretty good, actually. We almost went undefeated, made it all the way to, I want to say, the championship game or the game before the championship. And that game itself was, like, against the team that always won, and we barely lost to them.
Is that the game when I got a concussion?
Yeah, that was,
I remember that very well. Well, not all of it, but pieces.
Yeah, I felt bad about that one, man. So it was an awesome season. I loved having you as a quarterback. I think I was somewhat of a go-to receiver for you.
Oh, for sure.
So my hands were decent, and it was a lot of fun. But since then, that was a long time ago. It was probably a good 10 years ago.
It's been a while.
Since then, I ended up joining the military after I left Parkersburg, and then obviously moved on to Colorado since after that. So since then, me and you, much to my delight, have been able to keep in touch over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I knew that you did music back then, but then since then, you've had a lot of things happen as far as putting out albums and, you know, traveling some and doing, you know, performances. And so this is kind of part of the cool thing about these interviews is, you know, I know you. I consider you a friend of mine, but I don't know everything about you.
Right.
And, of course, since I'm not a stalker, I have no idea. Like, there's a lot of things about you that have happened in the past decade that I don't know about. You know what I mean?
Right.
As far as your experiences and places you've went and ups and downs in life. And so these interviews are cool in that aspect of it, kind of fill in the blanks. But yeah, I thought we know each other initially, and I'm glad that we've been able to stay in touch. One thing that my listeners probably find interesting is I mentioned earlier how I considered you kind of like a left-handed version of myself, a little bit
right.
younger. But the creepy part of it is we have like some similarities I would say awesome. Other people might say creepy, but yeah, like I'm pretty sure we have the same birthday.
We do have the same birthday.
Yeah, so February 6th for both mm-hmm. of us, which is pretty neat.
Yep.
We both were raised by our mothers. We're both very close to our mothers.
Yep.
Are you also Italian?
I am Italian, yep. My dad's side is almost full Italian, so I'm about half. I actually did one of those Ancestry.com things, and I'm 47% Italian, according to that.
Yeah. Yeah, so my mom's full Italian, and so I'm 50 of that, and then the rest is, like, German and Native American. And so, you know, like, our ancestry is similar.
there's a ton of similarities.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, man. Unfortunately for me, I'm not as talented as you, I don't think. I didn't even know until recently that you, like, are a pretty good artist, like, as in drawing.
Yeah.
As well as a musician, and so... You're definitely talented in more ways than I am, but I think I have a few other, you know, attributes that are redeeming for myself and such. I think I get by okay.
Oh, for sure. I found that a lot of people, like, I think that I'm good at things that don't necessarily... I'm good at random things. Like, I'll be good at a stupid game that you make up with, like, a piece... Like, when I was little, we used to play foil ball, where you'd... blow a piece of foil into a ball, and then you'd hit it with a bat, and whoever could hit it over the bank next to my mom's house the most times would win.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would always win at the games like that, stupid things. When it comes to real things, like if my car breaks down, I'm no help at all. Like, in my mind, I have no skills, because the skills that I have, I'm just like, oh, yeah, guess what? Hey, our car's on fire. I'll draw a picture about it. That's all I can offer for this situation. But I can't help anybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're also hilarious. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
One of the things that I appreciate about you the most is, you know, you're very humble. Like, you're a good-looking dude. You're good at what you do. You're a good, you know, the music you put out is good. The drawings that I've seen have been amazing. But if somebody talked to you, you know, they would just think that you don't really have much talent at all.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool, man. I think it's probably a testament to, you know, your mom and how she raised you.
Which is similar
to... you know, my mom and how I am. But that's really, it's very endearing, man. Like, you know, a lot of people in your situation honestly just wouldn't be like you. They might have a big head. They might, you know, think that their stuff doesn't stink. Like,
right.
You know, if a lot of people don't, they can let things go to their heads pretty easily.
Yeah.
Especially when they, had met a lot of people and had some success. And so,
no, I agree for sure. One of my biggest things, and my mom, obviously, like we said, we're both close with our moms, and they did a great job raising us. I also learned a lot from, like, football just growing up, because, like I said, didn't have, like, just grew up with my mom, so it didn't have much of a male influence. So a lot of it was just, like, diving into football and realizing, like, okay, this is a team sport. You know, if I really want to be good at this, I need to not be focused on myself. And mm-hmm. and I've always thought that, kind of in the back of my mind, like, anyone who has to tell you how good they are or something, or how much money they have, or how important they are, they're probably not. Like, they're clearly trying to,
well, yeah,
they're just trying to show off. It's someone who really is
the man
in that position. Yeah, someone who they won't say it. Like, they don't have to.
Yeah.
And so that's always been something I kind of, not that I think that I am, but like anything that I I've been playing music for a long time. I know that I'm not bad at it, but I'm still not going to go around. I realize that kind of stuff, but it's like, anyone who has to come up to me, like if they come up and say, oh, I'm the greatest songwriter, but no one will sign me. I've been writing songs for 45 years and I'm the greatest. And I'm like, I've never heard your songs, but I'm pretty sure you're not the greatest ever.
You're like, all right, you don't need to blow some up, bro.
Yeah, like, this conversation's over. but no, that's just been my mindset for a long time, just try to focus on that kind of stuff, man. Back to the, I didn't want to, before I forget, back to the flag football league thing. So when I lived down there, there was all kinds of leagues. There was the OVU league inside the gym, and then there was the flag football league, and then did you play with us in that that one, and we went to Wheeling? You went to that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we played in that. So there's a bunch of different ones. I live in Columbus, Ohio now.
Oh yeah, wasn't the Wheeling one where your brother played?
Yeah, my brother played. I pulled my hamstring. And Franchise was trying to, he thought I just like cramped up. And so he was trying to, like, stretch my leg, and my hamstring was completely blown, and he was just making it worse. But he's, like, twisting on it, like he's a doctor. And I was like, no, dude, it's pulled. But I moved to Columbus, and I tried, my first, like, couple years here, I tried really hard to find a flag football league. Yeah. And I just can't find anything that even comes close to it. I'm sure there are some somewhere, but they are not easy to get a hold of. Yeah, I mean, I've tried really hard, and I've not found anything like it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. I wish it, like, Parkersburg isn't, you know, the best place to live, but that was one of the things that I really enjoyed about it. Like, just having that much stuff to do, especially, you know, on a competitive level. Like, it's not just, like, some casual thing where nobody cares if they win. And you're just kind of, like, out there having fun, trying to stay in shape.
Right.
You know, like, it was, like, some good teams. Like, it was competitive. Yeah. And so, you know, I think you're like me. You're a little bit more laid back than I am, but I love competing, you know what I'm saying? So even though I'm getting older now, I still like to win and compete. So it's kind of cool to have not only a league to play in, but they had several leagues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like a year-round thing.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. And so, I mean, some people would take it a little too far. I remember a couple of fights.
Yeah.
Which was good. And they weren't like fights like, you know, a normal pushing and shoving thing. There was one that, like, these guys, things like that, their lives were online. So, like, that might be a little far, but I still kind of like it because it's very competitive. It was just so much fun. And same for me. Like, I had just gotten done playing college football and was looking for something to, you know, to kind of fill that void and keep me in shape. And everyone that we played with was really cool and really talented, really good football players. And that championship game, we were up, and I got a concussion, and I stubbornly stayed in the game, and I ended up throwing a pick. I might have been a pick six, and to put them up, and we had a chance for a Hail Mary, and we lost. I'll take the. I should have been in the game, dude. I should have just put sat on the sidelines.
I was in the right
state of mind.
Of course, hindsight's 20/20. I was the captain, so if anybody could make you sit out, it would have been me. And so if I could do it over again, the only thing I would have changed is I just would have manually told you what to do.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of let you do your own thing. And then I'd pick.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing.
You know what I'm saying? I just would have been like, all right, dude, so look for this check down. You know what I mean? Say throw. and then we probably would have won. But
yeah, we probably. But oh well.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It was still a good time.
Epic game. Yeah. Epic game for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. Those are some great times, man. Some great memories.
Yeah. So before we get into your background, one thing I want to talk about. You mentioned, you know, like how your mom raised you, and you didn't have much of a male figure, and not only the way she raised you, but also football helped you kind of figure stuff out as, you know, a young man and then a man. I think that's a great point, man. Football, in my opinion, is like a microcosm of life.
Yeah.
And a lot of things do translate to life as far as, you know, because being on a team happens, you know, whether you're in a band or you have a job.
Right.
Unless you're really a solo person that has some kind of job where you work for yourself, you don't have to interact with other people. You know, being on a football team and working as a team and not just, you know, trying to be everything for yourself, that really does apply. So,
absolutely.
That's interesting, man. Would you attribute, I guess my only question before we get into your background is, would you attribute the fact that you are, because I'm not, once again, I'm not trying to kiss your butt, but
yeah.
You are really, you know, you're a really good dude and you're a really talented guy. And the fact that you are as humble as you are is really admirable. Would you attribute that all to your mom and football, or is there anything else you would put that category?
So when I was in between first and second grade, we moved from Vienna, West Virginia to New Matamoros, Ohio, and we lived way out in the country.
Yeah.
And it was just my mom and I, and she had to work Monday through Friday, and it was about an hour drive each way for her to get to work. She left early, you know, wouldn't get home until late. So I spent a lot of my time at my neighbors. They babysat me, and they're just some of the best people that I ever got to know. The Morrises and New Matamoros, they helped raise me a ton. I learned a lot. I pretty much was just one of their kids for the time I lived there. I had to do chores with them. Just a very hardworking way of life about them. And I think that's mixed in as well, because football is a big one for sure as well, just because you learn early on, or hopefully you learn early on, that if you really want your team to do well, regardless of what position you are, or if you start or don't start or whatever it is, that if you, like, you have a job to do, and you have to take direction from your coach, and whatever he says goes. Like, okay, even if he's not, maybe, you know, everyone's saying that he's a bad coach, doesn't matter, he's still your coach, and you do it. Like, you learn responsibility, you learn trust to other people, you learn that if you focus too much on yourself, it's probably going to blow up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot of those things. I mean, I can still remember when I was in college, I was at Marietta College, and the coach, we were running laps, we were in trouble, and you know, you're running laps on the football field, you want to cut, like, if you can cut that little corner a little bit, you think you're going to, you know, buy yourself some time or save a little energy. And I remember him yelling, you know, if you're going to start cutting things now, if you're going to start cheating now, you're going to do this the rest of your life. Like, you're going to cut corners at work, you're going to cut corners in relationships, you're going to cut corners at everything you do.
Mm.
So there's just so many little things like that at the time I didn't really care about. You know, in the moment, I'm just thinking, I don't want to run. Yeah, like, I'm dying over here. I'm not trying to run anymore. But now, hindsight, I can look at that and be like, that was a really cool moment in my life that that has stuck with me, I mean, for years now. So, yeah, I would attribute all those things to just who I am, which has great qualities, has terrible qualities, and everything in between. But, yeah, that's... Yeah, for sure. Well, especially with social media, it's easier to look cooler than you really are now in today's world. But yeah, man, those would be the things I would say attribute most to all that.
Okay. So yeah, let's go ahead and dive into your background. So I know a little bit of your background as far as, you know, you mentioned the city that you and your family lived in after you moved. I know that you played college football.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we played some recreational football when I lived there, and you know, I've always already alluded to you being a musician and an artist in your spare time. But kind of fill in the blanks, man. There's no wrong answer. Tell us, you know, where you were born, where you kind of grew up, little bit about your family life, what you've done for work over the years. And then also, I want to hear as much as you're willing to tell us about your athletic background,
yeah,
as well as your personal background. So,
okay,
like I said, that you can really spoil us with details because there's, you know, it's all good.
So yeah, good. I'll throw it all in there.
All right,
I was born in Fairmont, West Virginia, and my mom and dad were together at that point. But then, I don't know what the time frame is. My dad moved to Florida pretty soon after I was born, and then my mom moved to Parkersburg, which I moved in with my grandma. We lived there for a few years, and then moved to New Matamoros, Ohio, which is right on the Ohio River, north of Marietta, about 30 miles. And I grew up there, out in the country at first, and then we moved into town, into the actual town in Nunet, and I played football. Well, when I was little, I really just started playing football, and I'm sure we're going to get to this, but I grew up just at the moment, so I didn't have any influence on, like, what teams to like, who to like, and the first person I remember watching play football was Charles Woodson.
Okay.
And so I just remember, like, seeing how smooth I thought. I just thought, like, everything he did was just awesome. And that kind of got, and that's kind of what it got me in. Like, my friends all play football, and I was like, well, you know, I'll give it a try. And so I played in fourth grade, and we went undefeated, won the championship, and then I stuck with it, and it quickly became my favorite sport. I played baseball and basketball through, like, junior high, and then, but once I got time into high school, I really started taking football extremely serious. I didn't drink or anything like that, just mainly because I wanted to keep my body in as good a shape as possible for football. I was able to start as a freshman at quarterback, played all 4 years.
What high school is that?
At Frontier High School.
Okay.
In Ohio, and I think, I don't remember all the stuff. I was All-State my junior and senior year, and then I was Offensive Player of the Year my senior year. And then I got a full scholarship to go to Robert Morris outside of Pittsburgh to play football. Was there for, I don't know, maybe a month and decided that really wasn't where I wanted to be. It was really hard for me at that time because I grew up, like, in high, the place I was coming from, I played with the same guys since fourth grade. Like, we were all best friends growing up. And so I went from that to Robert Morris where,
you know,
I remember I didn't know anybody. And not only did I not know anybody, I felt like it was like everybody hated me. Like the guys in my position group, I don't know whether it was like.
Really?
They were kind of, so I was a freshman and there were two seniors. We had a bunch of corner. I was there to play corner at the time. And there was only two seniors ahead of me and then me. I was third on the depth chart. And they both had, they passed out on our conditioning day from dehydration. So I was the first corner. And I remember one day, like, this one guy on our team was like, he kind of like, I was in the locker room getting my ankles taped, and he was like, you better be as good as they say you are, or blah, blah. He was like all mad at me. I was like, dude, what? This is so weird. I've never been on a team with people who I feel like dislike me for no reason or because I'm playing well in camp. Like, this is the weirdest thing. And plus, mix that with being homesick and being away and being 3 hours away from home.
Yeah.
Really, for the first time in my life, I was like, man, this just ain't it for me.
And
They probably were. You know what? Now looking back, I shouldn't even went up there. What was I thinking?
Gross. Yeah.
No, well, I'm just kidding. But so I moved back home, went to a community college for a semester so I could transfer to Marietta College, which is Division III. Played there for a couple of years. Couldn't really get healthy because I ended up taking a year off after my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my body just changed. In high school and even when I was at Robert Morris, I could run and run full speed directly into somebody bigger than me and hit them as hard as I could, and I would be fine. Like, my body wouldn't hurt. It was just effortless. Something happened in that year off. When I got to Marietta, every hit was just like, I could feel it in, like, every part of my body.
And plus, and I also, 1 year later?
That was only 1 year later, yeah. And also too, though, I did have a lot of concussions in high school football and college, and so, like, I got to the point where, like, I started playing nervous. Like, I didn't want to, like, get my bell rung. I didn't want to. So I would almost pull up a little bit without even realizing it, which is yeah. worse. You know, you play worse when you're playing like that. So
yeah.
that got to the point where I was like, okay, this isn't doing it. Like I'm at a D3 school. I'm not even healthy. I'm not getting to play because I almost completely tore my hamstring, concussions. Like I just couldn't get it together, and so I stopped playing football. And that's kind of when I started getting into music more. Started writing songs and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then after that year, my last year at Marietta, I transferred to OVU, which is where I met you.
Yeah.
And that's when that was a hard transition for me, going from playing football or having football to look forward to my entire life, really since I was like 9.
Yeah.
And now there's just nothing. Like I'm just a student. Yeah, I'm just a student, which is weird because I was so used to, oh, I have to go to workouts, I have to go to film, I have to do a practice, you know, everything was kind of based around that. Now it's just like, I got 2 classes today and nothing else. Like, this is weird. it took a couple of years before I really kind of got into a rhythm of not playing football.
Yeah.
But I was there for a year and we got to, you know, play those leagues and everything like that. And then, after that, I believe I moved back to New Matt for a little while, and then I moved back up to Parkersburg for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at first when I got out of OVU, I was my mom's a chemist in Marietta, Ohio, and I worked there as a courier. I also started playing shows as a musician, and it got to the point where I was either going to have to stop playing shows to work this job that I wasn't really interested in. I was just doing it so I could make a little bit of money, or you know, quit working and just start trying to really put everything into music and playing shows. And so I decided to do that. And I was like, well, you know, if I make it a month of doing this full time, that would be awesome. You know, that's a pretty good run. You know, it's a hard thing to do. And but it's been 8 years now. 8 years in this past October that I've been doing it full time now. I moved up to Columbus. I live up here now. Still just doing shows and making records and songs. And I do some co-writing and stuff for some other people and just try to put all my effort into music now. And I still love football. I wish I could find a league up here to play in.
Mm-hmm.
I still try to stay active and work out and all that stuff, but it's hard. You don't find as many opportunities. Up here, at least, which is weird. I thought they'd be everywhere up here. But,
oh, especially really in Columbus, right?
Yeah, in Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus. There's like everything to do.
Well, and that's what I thought. I did find one league. The guys were like, you'll probably find this hilarious. I got there and I found them on like this weird website, like meetup.com or something like that. I don't know what it was. And I was like, and it was just like, hey, we're doing this. The season starts in 3 weeks. If you want to show up, just email this guy. And I emailed him. I said, hey, man, I'm new to the area. I'd love to play. And he's like, all right, cool, be here. I showed up, brought my cleats. You know, I just kind of sat down, put my shoes on. I'm like, hey, I'm Anthony. You know, I forget the guy's name. And so there was only maybe 10 of us that showed up, 10 or 11. And he's like, so what position do you play? And I was like, oh, you know, I kind of move around. I can kind of do a little bit of everything. Just, you know, whatever you guys need me to do. And so he was like, all right, well, we're going to put you on the line. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, dude, what? You're going to put me on the line? But I was like, all right, man, I'll get on the line, whatever. So we were just running like scrimmage plays and stuff like that. And I'm blocking, but it was like one of those where you can't even use your hands. You have to put your hands on your back and just like run your chest into people. It's really weird.
Yeah.
So I did that for a little bit. And then, we're playing around and he's like, and this dude was probably in his late 40s. The guy that was running everything, and he was like all time quarterback, and he would
make. Oh, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and he was slow. Yeah, and I'm like, and so I'm like, dude, can I like switch positions or something? I was like, I've played some different, you know, skill positions before. You know, I'd like to try some other stuff. So he put me at wide receiver, and I was able to do really well at that. And then, you know, put me at corner, and then they put me at running back, and we were just having a lot of fun. And then he's like,
He's like, so you've played football before?
I was like, yeah, dude. I played my whole life and in college. Like, he's like, why didn't you say that? I was like, you just asked me what position I played. You didn't. But it was hilarious. But they were like, they were trying to, it's the same thing. I don't know what it is with guys in football, with new people. Like, they were trying to intimidate me the whole time. He's like, this league ain't for no weak people. He's like, we go after it here. And in my head, I'm like, all right, dude, it's flag football. Like, you don't go after it. Yeah, you know what? You don't go after it, dude. You pull a flag off another full-grown human, and that's it. It's not that serious. But I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, you want to intimidate me, that's fine. But it was just weird. And then I ended up actually hurting. I don't know if I broke, but one of my fingers got caught in this guy's shirt when I was playing corner and ripped backwards. And it popped my knuckle on my pointer finger and my middle finger. And I was like, man, that's not good, because I play guitar a lot and need that to play. So I took like a month off. That actually took about a year to heal. And then I emailed the guy like a few weeks later when the season was starting, and he was like, yeah, dude, please.
Sorry.
Please come. And I went to show up, and they like rescheduled without even telling me. And I was like, all right, dude, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not driving 30 minutes to show up to a field where there's no one there because you guys didn't tell me that you rescheduled it. So that's the last time I played. That was it. So, all that to say is I'm in Columbus now, and I've been here for about 5 or 6 years. And, yeah, man, I mean, I'm sure I missed some key things there. I don't really know, but
Have you enjoyed Columbus aside from that?
I love Columbus. I grew up in such a small area that I was always kind of nervous about Columbus because it seemed so big, mm-hmm. And overwhelming, really. But once you get up here and you kind of get familiar with things, mm-hmm. I love it. Man. It's not overwhelming at all. No, not at all. It's for as big as it actually is, numbers wise, it doesn't feel like that at all. I'm sure you probably know, but it feels like a really, really big small town to me.
Gotcha.
Perfect. But yes, I love it up here, man. I love it.
Good. So two questions based on what you said so far.
Yep.
When you said you went to Pittsburgh to college,
mm-hmm.
were you saying that you were trying out for corner or quarter?
Oh, corner. It was a little bit more. They're 1AA, and they can't give official scholarships, but what they can, or at least I don't know if they can now or not, but what they could at the time was offer a counter, which is anything that your financial aid doesn't cover, they cover everything else. Books, laundry, snacks, they cover it all. So it was a scholarship without being able to call it a scholarship. So they wanted me for corner. And so that cornerback, and so that's what I was doing, it was awesome. Like it was a very smooth transition. I mean, I played corner in high school, but we kept things very simple as far as really only running man and zone coverages, not anything else. And then you go from that to having a whole playbook of defensive coverages and all that kind of stuff. So that was the hardest part, but I loved it up there. That's why I like the setting and everything, but it was just, I felt it was a mix of things that made me not really feel like I belonged there.
Yeah, for sure. So when you were in high school and you did really good and like won awards and stuff, that was as a quarterback, right?
Yeah. I definitely had more
accolades.
For quarterback. But I would probably say that I think I was able to do so well in high school not because I'm a pure great, like I was a great quarterback, but I was just more athletic than a lot of the kids on the field. So that like, if I can hit somebody if they're open and I can throw the ball, but if not, I like to run more. Yeah. In hindsight, I think I probably should have been a running back. I really do. I think it's just my stature and everything is built for that more so than quarterback. But, we had, I think my freshman year we had 26 guys on the entire team. So if you're athletic, if you can do anything, you're on the field.
Yeah.
And so they just put me at quarterback, and I was able to do well. But I think as far as like a pure position player, I was way better at corner and defensive back than I was at quarterback.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and most of my, like, all most of the interest that I got from college was all for most, some of it was quarterback. Like, I actually got a preferred walk-on to WVU my senior year. But so one of the coaches called me and said, hey, they only called me once. He said, hey, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. You're the third guy on our QB list. If the two guys ahead of you don't commit, we're going to offer you a scholarship. If one of them do, then obviously you get the preferred walk-on, and we'd love to have you. And I never heard back from him, so I had the preferred walk-on. But that was the same year that freaking Pat White committed there.
Yeah,
Pat White wouldn't have committed.
Pat White was
my whole life.
One or two.
Oh yeah, he was probably number one, and I'm sure he. I'm not saying I would have been able to do any of the things that he did, but that was one of the only schools that was interested in me at quarterback. The rest were almost all defensive back.
Yeah, it's funny, man. So basically, Pat White ruins your life, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically, I hate him, and I'm going to fight him. No, I'm just kidding. I actually love him. I have a lot of family in Morgantown, and this is what I was referring to earlier. I'm a Michigan fan, which you know. But my second team.
The only bad thing about you, really.
I was going to say that earlier was that we have so many similarities and one glaring difference. One huge difference in two. But my second, Michigan's obviously number one for me. But then, like, right just behind it is West Virginia, mainly because I have so many family, and I grew up in West Virginia. So
yeah, like your second team.
They really are. Like, if they were to win the national championship, I would be super excited. And football or basketball or anything like that, I'd be really excited. And my grandma is a huge Mountaineer fan, so I'm always rooting for him for her as well.
Gotcha. All right, so next question. So this is kind of like, I'm asking you questions, but I'm also, like, sorting through it myself.
Yeah.
Because we have so many things in common.
Right.
So, like, I was thinking, man, like you, I played football my whole life. I was a good athlete like you. The one time that I did play running back, I actually did really good. I was averaging, like, 6 yards a carry, but then I fumbled because it was really cold.
Oh, yeah.
They never let me play again. But I played quarterback and receiver most of my life, and I was always pretty good. You know, like, depending on where I was at, I either got opportunities or didn't, you know, for different reasons. But most of the time when I've played places, I've had success wherever I've been, and I've enjoyed it. But I was thinking about it when you were talking, and I was like, man, you know, if you were to ask, like, little, you know, Terry when he's a little kid, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I probably would have said NFL player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I, at that age, I completely thought that was realistic.
Right.
And then I grew up and, you know, played in high school and played a little bit in D3 college, but never really got my shot, and things didn't go the way I thought they were going to go for different reasons. But
right.
When I think about that from like, my history, it's interesting because part of it is, like, I was lying to myself because, you know, I'm somewhere between, like, 5'9 and 5'10, right?
Okay. Yep.
That's how tall I am. So there's not many, you know, NFL quarterbacks that are 5'10. Like, right. The smallest ones, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, et cetera, are right around 6 foot, maybe 5'11.
Right.
You know what I mean? But 5'11 is pretty much the shortest you see that succeeds. So just height-wise, that alone would have held me back from going to a certain, you know, to a certain level.
Right.
But then, dude, when I even think about, you know, there's been, I play video games, you know, like I play Madden and stuff. And over the years, different games have come out. Everything from like NCAA football, where you can, like, you know, recruit players, which is super cool. I'm thinking it's going to come back.
That's
awesome.
So. Yeah.
To, like, other games, and I remember there was one, I don't know if there was I guess it would have had to be Madden, but there was a Madden game where in the game, it might have been, like, creative player mode or story mode or something like that, but in the game, they had some kind of mode where, you know, you were this quarterback in this story, right?
Right.
And you're like trying to develop yourself into an NFL prospect. And you would go, you know, with NFL scouts, and they say, okay, so we want you to do this kind of throw. Then we're going to quiz you, and we want you to repeat this long-ass play call. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like, you know, punch right, heavy right, over, you know,
right.
Oski, like, it's just ridiculous how long it was. And I failed miserably, right?
Yep.
So that either means one of two things. Either means, one, it's, I'm a, some Italian guy on a couch in Colorado. That's why I couldn't do it. Or I seriously would have struggled on the mental aspect of being an NFL quarterback from how much you need to really, you know, like,
right.
comprehend and spit out. So I'm not sure which one of those is true. But, yeah, I was just thinking about that when you were talking. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think a lot. I think about this sometimes as well. And I would say that I think that's one of the reasons you see a lot of the athletes right now that are in the pros that their parents were pro athletes. You know, they have relatives that are pro athletes. When I think when you're raised around that stuff, you like you have kids now, and honestly, I think Madden helps some with coverages and route concepts and different things like that. But like when I was growing up, it was it was mostly you just ran the ball, and defense, you played cover three, zone, or man. So that was it. There was no, and at quarterback, and at quarterback for me, it was, you know, you had maybe two or three routes, usually to one side of the field, and then you could run it. Like, there was not a lot of reading coverages, or it was just, okay, this guy's not open, move to this guy. You didn't really care what they were running. They were open it like set up in so mm-hmm. And that's not a knock on my school, it's just that I'm sure that there are junior high teams right now who are running seven different defensive coverages and you know, five wide,
which complex.
Yeah, they're just so I think a lot of some of it could be maybe I wouldn't be able to do that, but a lot of it too could be maybe I just wasn't exposed to any of that in time. It's like because if you haven't ever experienced it and then you go from a senior in high school who dominates but is just off ability and the physical side of it. And then you get into a room and they say, okay, we need you to, figure out what coverage the defense is in and then audible the play to fit, one of these three route concepts.
Yeah.
Right then, boom, I'm like, I don't even know what coverage you're in, dude. Like, I don't know how to, and so I think there are both aspects of it. And the longer you're not, right now, I mean, if somebody read off to me a list of like an NFL play, I'd have no clue what they're talking about. You know what I mean? I haven't been around that stuff in so long that it kind of becomes just faint to you. You don't think about it as much. And so I'm sure I know you could do it. It would just be one of those things where it'd have to be years and years of being involved in it.
What side are you leaning towards? Are you leaning towards, for yourself, leaning towards more the side that you might struggle with it because you always had, like, stuff simple? Or are you leaning more to the side you probably could do it, you just didn't have exposure?
I think I could have done it. Yeah. I think my learning curve might have just taken me a little longer than...
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have been able to step in day one and be like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. I was like, okay, no, I don't understand. I'm someone who I have no problem telling you that I don't understand something. Like, right? You know what I mean? Like, I go to Kirby. Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's like I go to Kirby on Tuesdays here in Columbus with a group of friends.
Yeah.
And they'll ask a question, and I'm not somebody who like I don't pretend to think about questions that I know I don't know. You know. Mm-hmm. And even if they're easy, like, okay, a fourth grader would get that right. Well, guess what? I'm not going to get it right, and I don't really care. So, like, I have no problem saying, hey, I don't understand this, and you can make fun of me, but. And until you know that I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to get fixed. Like, I'm not going to get to the point where I can help the team. So I don't, like, if they would have said, oh, this is, because really when I was coming out of high school, all I really knew was man and zone, cover three and cover one. So if they would have said, oh, you know, they're going to run any coverage other than that. And even, I mean, I knew a little bit of cover two, but like outside of those three coverages, I wouldn't even know how to diagnose that.
Yeah,
like to read that.
If you went to WVU,
right, I would have been
all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. And so that's where I would have been. I think the first you give me a full year of really really going at that, I think I could come in year two and at least be probably light years ahead of where I was, but and then, you know, hopefully start. I don't think that I don't, this might be ego, but I don't think I'm somebody who couldn't get it. I think it just might take me a little bit of time to wrap my head around it. And once I think I start to pick it up, I think then I would be able to do well. But that, you know, that could just be in my head as well.
It's all hypothetical, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You never know. But yes, I think I would say that's how I would feel. What do you think about you? You think that you could do it if you had time, or no?
You know, it's a good question. I think I'm a little bit jaded because the way my football journey went wasn't ideal.
Okay.
And I don't want to get into it, you know, because this isn't about me. But, like, just the you know, how high school went and college went and things, you know, whether it be decisions that I made, you know, that were to my detriment or situations where coaches didn't give me really a shot. You know, the combination of those two things kind of made my story a sad story. Football, and so that kind of lends to, you know, me thinking negative things, right? Like thinking like, oh, well, I'm probably too stupid to, you know, say that play call that Matt Ryan just did. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep. And that's a hard part to end. I mean, that can be really intertwined in any part of your life. You know, you deal with something like somebody. Once you start to question yourself because of an outside situation, that's a really hard thing to. Shade over. Yeah, it really is. So I totally get that, and that sucks, man, that was the way it went.
Yeah, no.
It made me feel, but yeah.
All happens for a reason.
For sure.
So question, would you consider yourself the Italian Mike Vick?
I did get referenced as a Mike Vick my junior year of high school.
Okay.
And at the time,
doesn't surprise me.
I'm left-handed, and I used to run all the time in high school. And he was in his prime when I was in high school, and I remember reading articles about him, just being, like, all his teammates saying he was just like the coolest dude. But his first drive-in, somebody got hurt, I think, and he came in, and everyone in the huddle was looking at him, and he just like pulls a chapstick out of his waistband and puts the chapstick on his lips, and he like calls the play, goes out, runs it down the field. Win the game, and just like I looked up to him a ton athletically, and so I don't think I wasn't as fast as him. He was, I think, what do you run, like 4.2, 40?
I don't know. I was gonna ask you what your 40 time was.
My fastest official was a 4. I ran a 4.4 at Ohio State before my senior year. Yeah. That was my fastest official time. Like, we did some on the football field with like someone standing at the end and kind of eyeballing it, which, you know, that can be. I could run a 4.1 or a 5.3, and he's like, oh,
you're
a lineman. Yeah, it's hard to tell. And so that was my fastest like official laser time, or however they do it.
4.4.
It was a 4.4. I was happy with.
Yeah, so just so you know, my fastest ever 40 time, and that was at Heidelberg, the D3 school I played for before I moved to Parkersburg. My fastest time was 4.69.
Yeah,
it's faster than Baker Mayfield.
You know, that's not slow at all.
That are considered fast.
Yeah,
but it's a far cry from 4.4. So once again, you know, I know you're not a cocky guy and you're very humble, but dude, 4.4 is moving, boy.
Yeah, that's why I think that I should have been, like, if I could go back and I don't even know if I would have changed. I'm not someone who likes to change. I think about changing the past, but like if there were another alternate world where my life existed, I would try to push to play running back instead. Just because I'm like 5'11 ish. Right now I'm like 230. I stay around like between 220 to 230. And I was 215 getting coming out of high school. So 5'11", 220, and I ran a 4.4. And I like to think that I had good vision. And I actually played running back in an all-star game in Wheeling, West Virginia after my senior year.
Did you?
Uh-huh. And so they brought me up as a quarterback. And then I thought it was an all-star game. So I thought we were just going to like have fun.
Mm-hmm.
No, dude, it was like boot camp. We had a 3-a-day the first day there. We had 3 practices the first day.
Mm.
And they were trying to have me play wide receiver, which I would love that because I love jumping around and doing different things. But I was having a hard time with the playbook because they did it completely different than we had done it.
Yeah.
So, like, day three of camp, the coach is like, if you don't know the plays by tomorrow, you're not going to play in the game on Saturday. Like, he was tough. I think Dave Caldwell, he was at Bellsville. He's an awesome coach. And so I was like, man, I got to take this serious. Stayed up all night studying plays. Came out the next day, knew all the plays, all the formations. And then they're like, all right, well, we're going to put you in this at running back for this formation called fatbacks. Because at that point, I was like 220. We had a fullback that was.
Oh, you fat too, baby.
Yeah, he. Well, I mean, I at that point, I wasn't even close to fat. But he was like, we were just the heaviest guys, the heaviest athletic guys on the team. So it was me and all the way in the back, two fullbacks that were each like 250, 260. And then they just picked right or left, and we just run the ball. And we ran it three times in a row, and I scored three touchdowns in practice. And so he literally was like, well, I got to put you at running back now. You just scored three times in a row. And I was like, all right. And that was like 2 days before the game. And so they ended up putting me at running back because one of the guys got a cramp, and I ended up being player of the game. I had like 100, and I had a 67-yard touchdown run, or two touchdown runs. They ran a reverse with me, and I threw it for another touchdown, and then they tried to throw me a touchdown pass, and I caught it on a slant, but I got tripped up. But just like kind of that position of different things like that, I think that's where I probably could have really, really done well.
You loved it, right?
Oh, I love that. Like being in different positions, it might be a wide receiver, running back, I could throw it, you know, just. And I really like defense as well, but offense is just a little more exciting for me. Defense could be a little not boring because there's so much that goes into it, but you're just constantly getting attacked. Like it's you don't get to really be on the aggressive side too much, especially at corner in the styles I was playing in. So, I think I would have switched to. I think I was built for running back, but
you enjoyed. I mean. I was thinking about, since I am a football coach now, I was thinking about, you know, like when you play quarterback in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a coach, like sometimes your best, like your smartest move is just to put your best athlete at quarterback.
Right, because they're getting the ball every play.
Exactly.
And that's what we did. And we had some, I was fortunate, like the whole team was great. We had a great lineman, running back, wide receivers. And, well, I mean, in a small school, we had to play both ways. And they were all good at both sides. But, that's pretty much what we did is, I was getting the ball every play, and I'd either hand it off or play action and run or play action and pass. And
and it worked.
And, it did. We did. We had a lot of success. And we were also in the smallest division at the time of Ohio High School. So some of the teams we played were really struggling, and we kind of hit our stride. My senior year, we had like 14 seniors, which is probably the most they've ever had. But we just had a good group of guys that really enjoyed. We were all very, very focused on the team, not focused on ourselves. So it was a really cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, man. When you're talking about those guys you had played with since fourth grade, all the way through high school, like that just sounds awesome. You know what I mean?
Like,
you guys were like inseparable. You just had awesome chemistry.
Yeah,
you know, each other like brothers. I mean, that's best case scenario.
That's exactly what it was. And I'll tell you, this is probably one of my favorite stories of my entire football career. We all played this pretty much the same position since fourth grade. So I played quarterback. One of my best friends, Jake, played running back. Nick was a lineman. Corey was a lineman. Don was our big tall receiver. We all played the same positions growing up. But we had all gotten to know each other so well that it was my senior year. We had a sign. If it was a pass play, Jake, the running back, was lined up to the right, and if he was going to run a slant or a short route, and the guy was pressing him because he was super fast. If I tapped my face mask, and he tapped his, that meant he was going to run a fade or a go, and vice versa. If he was supposed to run a go and they were off, he tapped his face mask and run a slant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we're playing Wellsville, and I'm in the shotgun. He's on the right, and he was supposed to run a slant, and the guy came up on him to press him, and I didn't even have to tap my face mask. I literally just looked at Jake, and he looked at me, and we both, without even making a signal or anything, I knew that he was going to run a fade, and I dropped back, looked to the left, and I have to look over there. I turned around and just threw it deep, and he was right there, caught like a 70-yard touchdown. But just stuff like that, is, I don't feel like a lot of people get to experience where you can literally just look at someone and know what they're going to do, and they know what you're going to do without even saying anything. it's a really cool thing that I'm glad I got to experience.
Yeah, for sure. So you said you had a lot of concussions.
I did, yeah.
In high school and college?
Yeah, yep. I actually had maybe had one in sixth grade, but what was the last part of that?
It's in high school and college, and also after that,
and flag football. I still remember that play. It was fourth and one or fourth and two. They ran a slant. It got tipped up. Or no, he ran a slant. I tipped it up, but it kind of went backwards towards the quarterback. And I went to jump to catch it, and he like slid under me to catch it. I guess I don't really know. It took my legs out. And I think I did a flip or close to a flip. And landed on my head. I just remember laying there, and everybody was yelling, trying to fight each other. And I think I was like, "It's fine, it's fine." I was just tired of people yelling. I was like, "I'm fine.
This is my seventh concussion. It's fine."
Yeah, I know what to do. I got the doctor on speed dial. So it was. They're mostly in high school and college, and that was kind of before they started taking it real serious, like they do now. Which I'm glad they do. But I got my first concussion. I went to the hospital for my freshman year, and got the concussion in the first quarter, went to the hospital, and the doctor was like, "Well, there's no physical proof that you had a concussion, so you can go, and just let me go." That was it.
Yeah, because they're so oblivious to...
In my mind, I'm like, oh, so you mean that hour and a half of my life that I don't remember isn't a symptom of something? He's like, yeah, no big deal. Now you do that, you're out for 2 weeks, and you should be. It's a very serious thing, but... It was just a different time.
Yeah. Yeah, so my question for you about that is, I have no idea how many concussions I've had.
Right.
There's definitely at least two or three times in my football career that I felt like I might have been concussed.
Right.
One for sure, and maybe two for sure, but it's all kind of hypothetical. But my question for you is, now that I'm 38 years old, luckily for me, I'm a pretty, fully functional adult. I go to work and all my bills are paid and I have a good life here in Colorado. But I would be lying to you, Anthony, if I didn't say that my mental aptitude isn't best case scenario. So,
okay.
I'm trying to put it into words. So, like, I have a really bad memory. I'll think of something that I should have as my podcast thought of the day, and then literally 30 minutes later, it's gone. Like, unless I go on my phone and put it in my notes, it floated away and it's gone forever. So my memory struggles. I can be forgetful about certain things.
Yeah.
And as far as, I don't know, man, I guess I think of it kind of just like, mental capability, like whether it be me reading a book and not getting distracted, or me comprehending something at work, like some kind of new training. You know what I mean? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have to think about how well does my brain really function. And it's hard to say because, I have my brain, and over the years, my brain is what it is, and so I've kind of adapted to, my strengths and weaknesses of it. And so it's kind of hard to say what percentage I'm really functioning at, but what would you say for yourself? Because I think... You either have had the same amount of concussions as me or maybe more. And so have you seen, ramifications from that, or you haven't really noticed much?
That's a hard one to tell. As you get older, I know people who, I feel like the older you get, I mean, not that your mind just goes completely, but I feel like you have so much going on, it's much easier now to have little things slip through the cracks. As it was, when you were younger, if all you have to do is go to school.
You mean social media and information?
I guess that could be part of it, but more just let's think about back to when you were like 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
You had school and football or whatever sport you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are your focus. That's it. Like, you hang out with your friends.
As an adult, there's more on the table.
You got, now you have to remember, depending on how you have things set up, you got to pay your bills. You need to make sure that you go to the grocery store. You need to make sure that, like, you go from being the one that people just kind of tell you what to do and you go do it to now I have to know every part of my life and I have to make sure that it's on time. So I think that, you know, your mind can, you have way more responsibility now. And so, you know, I do that too. Like, I'll think of like a line for a song or an idea for a song. If I don't write it down, I'll forget it sometimes. Yeah. And could that be from that stuff? I guess. But I also just think that, especially in a creative aspect of it, I don't know how many times, even for as long as I can remember, like, I kind of think of them as like a dream. You have a dream, you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I'll remember that. And then 30 minutes from then, you don't remember what the dream was. Just because I think creative stuff kind of comes and goes. And so I always try to capture those things. But I think I don't really have a whole lot of issues.
That's good, man.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, but I mean, maybe I'm just used to it. You know what I mean? Maybe I just adapted and I feel fine. So that's good. And if one day I don't, I guess I don't. That's out of my hands.
But as of right now, you feel fine and you feel healthy.
I feel, there are definitely days where I feel, I think I have pretty good memory actually, but I guess for me it's more like I have really good memories of the things that I want to have good memories, like things that I like. Mm-hmm. Like football, I can remember, like I was just telling you things that happened, you know, years ago.
Yeah,
I can see them. Yeah, and because I love football and it's one of my favorite things in life. If we were talking about car parts, dude, I don't have a freaking clue. I don't know, man. And so I think that can come down to it too. Is like it's also, it's easy to forget about things that maybe aren't on your highest interest, and they can still be important, but you know, not all important things are maybe your favorite things to think about.
I got you.
I think that could be a lot of it too. But when it comes down to it, I don't really know what I'm talking about.
So. You're not a doctor, is what you're saying. You're not a doctor.
I mean, I basically am a doctor, but you know, just not officially. You know, that's all. Yep. I'm an underground doctor. Exactly. My aunt is a doctor, though. And my grandpa was a doctor, so it kind of just runs in the genes. I think I got it.
Yeah, you're mostly a doctor because of what your family is.
For sure, yeah. It's been passed down to me. I've been diving into it. That's how it goes.
The last subject before we wrap up, mm-hmm. let's talk music, man. So obviously, I mentioned you're a musician. I've purchased your albums myself. I'm not sure how many albums you have out total.
I appreciate it.
But kind of let us know your journey of music. I know that it kind of started after college football was no longer. But give us a short synopsis of your kind of journey through music as far as what you've done so far, where you've been, you know, where you're currently at, stuff like the upcoming stuff.
I've been, after college football especially, I started getting into writing songs, started playing here and there just for fun, and that started going well. So I got to play a good bit and decided that I wanted to try to start writing my own songs. And I really started to enjoy that process of coming up with a song from nothing and then making it into something that you can communicate emotion to someone else through. Yeah. I've recorded, I think it's 5 albums now. I've done a handful of singles as well. I'm getting ready to hopefully do another album. I just started a Kickstarter for that. Just last week. So trying to get that going. I played really all over the country. I haven't left the country to play anywhere yet, but I play, just because of where I'm at, I play a lot in Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, stuff like that. But I've gotten to open up for some really cool things. Two summers ago, I opened up for Nick Jonas here in Columbus at this big event. Nice. So I've gotten to play some really cool events. I've also played some terrible events. That's just kind of the way it goes. You know, you can't be too picky about the opportunities that you get. And so, I've been at it for a long time. And I'm trying to think what other notable things. Because I do it for a living now, so there'll be times where I get some really cool opportunities. I played at a yoga event one time. Mm-hmm. That was terrible. because it wasn't like a real yoga event. It was at a gym, and they just had a class, and they met behind the gym next to a dumpster, and I just played guitar while they. I don't know much about yoga, but I'm pretty sure they were basically taking a nap with towels on their heads, and I was playing guitar in the heat, sitting on a plyometrics box.
That sounds like a great.
It was just terrible. And so you get to see both sides. You get to see, you know, which I think is healthy. And, you know, I try not to get too low when I'm, you know, I'm frustrated, but also not get too high. Like if I have a really cool thing, it's like that doesn't.
And I'll balance kind of
stay, yeah, you gotta stay balanced with it, because if you get too high or too low, that's when I think things get a little shaky.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, man, I mean, it's just, I don't really know. If anybody who's listening to this wants to check it out, I have a website. It's just anthonymossberg.com, and there's probably more stuff on there that will. We had somebody write that for me. Says, "Hey, they're better with describing me than I think I am, probably." And it's all online. It's all on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, all that stuff. So, plenty of opportunities there for all that stuff.
Awesome,
man.
Yeah. So my last thing is, I want you to give anything else you want to plug besides the website. Just so people know, that your last name is spelled Mossberg.
Correct, yeah, Mossberg.
Spelled like everybody else.
Yep, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Yeah, I mean, if you want to, I could maybe throw in like a dash or something and then make it cool. But, no, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, so I'm doing this Kickstarter. I have a whole album ready to record. It's just recording is a really expensive process. And so just trying to, basically, what the Kickstarter does is gives people the opportunity to pay for the music up front, and then that money goes to recording the album. So as soon as the album's done, they don't have to wait for iTunes or anything like that. I send directly to them. So they're basically funding the album by just pre-ordering the album. Or there are other levels, if they want, like a guitar lessons or me to write them a song. You know, it just keeps going up to whatever people want. So that's the big one right now. Just trying to keep creating music on my own, which is can be a hard thing to do. But yeah, I think that's really the only thing to plug right now.
What about, like, social media and stuff?
Yeah, all my social media is just under my name. Instagram is A. Mossberg, M-O-S-S-B-U-R-G. And Facebook, all that stuff is just under my name, Anthony Mossberg. I'm very easy to find online. I don't think there's anybody else with my name that I have found anyway. So if you type it in, I'm easy to find. And feel free to shoot me a message and tell me that my music is terrible or great, or if you want to message me after. Wait, when is this? When are you going to put this up?
It's always Friday nights.
Okay, so if you guys want to message me after Michigan wins this weekend and tell me congrats on the victory, that's fine. I'll take it.
Good luck, dude. Good luck,
brother. I know. I had to throw my shot in there, dude.
Yeah, I got you. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. That's it. I think that's all the stuff
that I have. All right, fair enough. Well, yeah, I'm definitely gonna encourage my listeners to check you out. I love your music. I love you as a person, man. You're like a brother from another mother. I love talking to you. It's funny, you know, my interviews are usually around an hour, and we were joking when we were texting each other, like, probably have to cut it short, you know.
Yeah.
We could talk for 2 or 3 hours without even blinking.
For sure, we could easily keep going.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll schedule you another interview for next year.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be great.
Give you a heads up, and we'll do it again, and we can get into other subjects a little bit deeper, you know, as far as, you know, like music, like specific, you know, your I guess not only music, but also life stuff, right? Like we talked about life, we talked about football, but there's also, you know, there's Anthony, you know, and it's just normal life, you know, whether it be dating or life experiences, you know. I like to dive into stuff that's real.
And for sure. I'll love that, man. Yeah, anytime you want to do this, I'm always down. This is easy, because we could do this and not even record it. You know? I mean, it's just hanging out and chatting. Yeah, especially when it's about something we're both passionate about, football, and just life, man. It's good to catch up, and hopefully this is something that your listeners and everybody will enjoy to hear for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I appreciate you, man. Nice talking to you. And like I said, I'll stay in touch for sure. If I'm able to come up to Parkersburg for Christmas, I'll let you know. And maybe you can come to Denver to visit. But
I need to come to Denver for sure. I really got to make that work.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, thank you for letting me be on here, man. And I'm glad we got to catch up. And yeah, I appreciate you. And I can't wait to see how this thing keeps going for you, man. And I'm going to come visit you soon. I'm going to try my best anyways. It's just a long way. But I'll make it happen.
All right. Good talking to you, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Terry.
All right, see ya.
See you, buddy.
Later.
And there you have it. That was my interview with Anthony Mossberg. pretty awesome interview. Like I was saying to him, he's one of those friends that I could easily pick up and talk to for 2 or 3 hours at any given time and without missing a beat. It's funny. Midway through the interview, my alarm went off on my phone. It's actually the alarm to wake me up. And so right now it's Friday morning. That's usually the alarm that wakes me up to get ready for work. And so that was the first. So sorry, I apologize about that. But besides that, I think it was a pretty good interview. The phone service was crystal clear, like 98% of the phone call. There's only like one patch where his voice got kind of robot-y. But besides that, it was great. So as usual, thanks for joining me, guys. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and the interview. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good weekend. Go Buckeyes and go Browns. Woof.